Good morning, Wisconsin. So let's pour that coffee and talk to some experts about what's going on in Milwaukee, Madison, Washington, and beyond. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's the Political Power Hour on WTMJ. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Should we talk about the government?
And good morning, happy Wednesday, happy hump day to those who celebrate. Lots to talk about on this sort of chilly, wet morning here in southeastern Wisconsin. Hope it's nice where you are. Hope your coffee mug is full or your Diet Coke if you're so inclined. Let's start with this. I heard a great story. I'm not afraid to or ashamed to call out great local reporting. TMJ4 News in Milwaukee. They had a story that I think certainly is suggestive of where we're at as a country and as certainly as a state when it comes to politics and how we sort of get along or probably more accurately don't get along. We're going to play the piece. It's about a minute and a half or so. Thanks to our producer Jazz for editing this down a little bit. It is about signs that people put in their yards. Now, we all know the campaign signs, but the signs have taken on a new existence post-campaigns, beyond campaigns, and pay close attention to the comments of these citizens when they're talking about their signs. Here's that piece from TMJ4 News.
For the first time in nearly 3 years, officials here in the village of Slinger received this complaint from a resident who believes her neighbors are violating an ordinance.
We want to keep our sign up. It's, you know, it's who we are.
Marion Novak and her husband Raymond tell me they've had this Trump sign on their front lawn for about 9 years.
It's not a campaign sign or an election sign. It's our yard decoration.
The Novaks got this letter from the village building inspector that says their signs violate an ordinance and they need to be removed.
Most people liked it, and then all of a sudden just one person. Doesn't make sense.
I got a copy of the complaint sent to the village. It reads some of the buildings with Trump signs, and it has a list of 17 properties.
This is our property. We don't have anything on public land. And this is ours, and we feel we should be able to have whatever we want on our land.
Because a complaint was filed, the Novaks and others are now on the village's radar.
This is a complaint-based system here because we don't want to pay our building inspector just run around and hassle people.
Village President Scott Stortz tells me the Novak sign is allowed.
But our ordinance talks about the length of time for signs, not the content of the sign.
Okay. However, the ordinance states that the sign can't be up for 7 consecutive days or 30 cumulative days in a 1-year period.
Our response to the complaint is not politically motivated.
I did try speaking to the woman who filed the complaint, and I have not heard back from her yet. The village president tells me he will have this topic on the agenda for the March 17th village board meeting to see if the board wants to make changes to the current ordinance. In Slinger, Megan Lee, TMJ4 News.
Thanks, Megan Lee, for that report, TMJ4 News in Milwaukee. Couple quotes from the piece. It's who we are. It's our yard decoration. Nothing against the community of Slinger. Nothing against the individuals who spoke on record, on TV. I understand the passion here. Here's the problem. One, there are restrictions on signs in communities. It's been the case for decades. Both the size of signs and even some content issues. But I think it's illustrative to a bigger point. And I'll make it this way, and I'm curious what you think. You can weigh in on the text line, 855 Siding Unlimited, talking text line, 855-616-1620. It's not who we are. It's essentially making campaigns and candidates a 365-day-a-year competition. It's a, I guess the right word I would use is antagonizing your neighbors. Now, when I used to talk to a lot of neighbors as a former mayor, one of the things I noticed is there's good neighbors and the ones that like to antagonize all the rest of their neighbors. And I'm not sure what the dynamics of that are, other than some people are just generally unhappy or like to get in people's faces. It's sort of that bully mentality. And I don't know that these people are bullies. I just, they have a very strong opinion, obviously. It's who we are. It's not who you are. The sign said Trump and Schimmel, if I'm boiling it down. One an active campaign, one that's been over for months. My just personal opinion here, I'd love to hear what you have to say. I don't want politics and campaigns to be our only topic of conversation on our radio shows, on our television shows, on our newsletters and blogs, and certainly in neighborhood conversations. And what we've seen over the last several decades is the antagonization of people by people who don't want to get along, who are perpetually angry. There's no reason in the world why someone needs a sign about a campaign that's already over. You won in the case of this sign and those neighbors. You won. Be happy about it. And it's not a yard decoration. Yard decorations are flowers, landscaping. Those type, mulch, well-maintained.
Gnomes?
Gnomes in some extreme cases. Thank you, Producer Jazz. And I hear these stories, and I'm sick and tired of this stuff. I understand what happened in November. Donald Trump clearly won an election. A lot of people didn't think he'd win, including me, for the last couple years. I accept the results, something he didn't do in 2020, or most of his followers. Texture said they should paint it on the garage door. That probably would be a violation. And this notion that some people have that you can do whatever you want, no, you can't. There are ordinances in place in every community in this state and in this country probably where it tells you exactly what you can and can't do. You can't have a junkyard in on your property. Although some people think they can skirt that one. You can't light it up like a Christmas tree year-round when it starts to flood over onto your neighbor's property. It's reasonable and rational for political signs to come down after a certain amount of time after an election, whether it's 30 days. There's all kinds of rules. And so the village president, appreciate your comments. If you think you're going to change this rule about the timing, because you apparently you're not concerned with content, if you're going to change it about timing, prepare yourself for a sign war in Slinger. Nothing drives down values in a neighborhood than neighborhood wars, properties that look like the headquarters of political campaigns, or in some extreme cases, people who like to use the F word on their signage, their yard decoration, which I've also seen in my community. At some point, Squawk Radio, Squawk TV has to lose this influence that it's wielding over people to just do things like this. It's more than okay to put these signs out during the campaign and the elections. Absolutely. Knock yourself out. Be enthusiastic. Support your candidate. Support your party. Love that. We need more of that. But this idea that extends indefinitely is stupid. It doesn't make you stupid. It makes that decision stupid. And again, nothing against Slinger. It's happening everywhere. Whether you're Trump, Biden before he dropped out, Harris, whoever, aldermanic candidates, mayoral candidates, senatorial, there's signs for like two Senate campaigns. You still see on Wisconsin freeways. Get over it. Those elections are decided. And last word for the it's our yard decoration, it's who we are, folks. Grow the hell up. Absolutely. From the text line, then I'm going to move on and talk about the passing in the House of the big, what did Donald Trump call it? Big, beautiful budget bill. From the Siding Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Good commentary about the political signage, Steve. Couldn't agree more. Love the voice of reason, Steve. Please let us know how it turns out regarding the sign ordinance. People, this is from the 608, people want peacefulness and beauty in their neighborhoods. Those signs are ugly and unnecessary without an active campaign in progress. From the 920, rules don't matter anymore. Norms are gone. Completely agree. Squawk, this is from 262. Squawk Radio and TV personnel are the reality show producers who inspire and stoke the exaggerated bad behavior. Yeah, to some degree they do. We have created a culture and a society filled with angry people, mostly about politics. People look forward to this stuff now. They look forward to being a troll on the internet with their expertise in everything from politics to health to vaccines, which I'm going to get to at some point on the show. A few more texts, I'm going to move on here. Thank you, Steve. Couldn't agree more. Saw the clip on WTMJ. Felt the anger boil up in me. If that's who they are, this is from the 920. I'm glad I don't have them for neighbors. Look, I'm sure they're nice people. This idea, though, that this is a yard decoration, again, I said it before, I'll say it again, is stupid. It's not that. It's an antagonization of your neighborhood and your community. And, oh, by the way, last comments. People who make, report violations should not be outed. There are anonymous reportage of these things. That's normal. And now that you're going to target those folks because you don't like what they said? No. Enough. All right, let's go to the House of Representatives, Washington, D.C. Last night, Speaker Mike Johnson, House Republicans passed a budget resolution. Still has to be reconciled with the Senate. We'll see what happens there. Big, big win for Donald Trump. Apparently did some last-minute lobbying. I think it was 217, 215, very close margin. That's what the House looks like now. Included things like more money for defense, energy, immigration enforcement, tax policy. I'll say this front and center because people like to think I'm not a conservative. I am in support of extending the Trump tax cuts from 2017. Absolutely. To not do that is a serious impact on our country. Our taxation policy, like our immigration policy, is a disaster anyway. And again, I'll blame the people who deserve the blame. The people in Congress who allowed this to be the reality. Now, here's the part that gets me on this. So when I think about Congress doing things like this, passing this massive, massive budget bill, trillions of dollars, here's the kicker on this thing. This is the thing that drives me nuts about politics. Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, had to make a concession to some of his holdouts on the conservative side, promising $2 trillion in spending cuts, because this thing adds up to like $4.5 trillion in tax cuts over the next decade, if it's actually goes forward, implemented, approved by the Senate, reconciled, and then signed by Donald Trump. So in order to make the math work, which I think those of us who like small government and more importantly, fiscal sanity, you have to make cuts. But here's the kicker on this one. The details, this is from the Speaker's office, the details of the cuts will be sorted out later by individual committees. Raise your hand out there in radio land if you think that's probably a sellout and not going to happen. That'd be me. This is the way Congress does business. They think these things are so researched, analyzed, budget tested, but they're not. And this promise of, we'll get to those cuts. Yeah, sure, you will. And what it's going to lead to is we will have ever-increasing deficits. The impact of this one's still to be determined. It'll be trillions of dollars, potentially $4 trillion over the next decade, which is already, the deficit is already exploding. Credit to Ron Johnson, because he was on this issue, our senator, many, many years ago. It's one of the things I do agree with Senator Johnson on. This is how Congress does business. Are you serious about tax cuts and how these details matter? Then you would have put it in this bill. This lame idea that's going to be sorted out in committee is a sellout. It's a cop-out. It's a surrender, using that word on purpose, to Donald Trump. There are probably things in this budget that I really like. I talked about the tax cuts. That doesn't matter, because an exploding federal deficit will kill this country. And I'll get to Doge in a second here, but their analysis, and I'm air quoting analysis because it's not that, their budget cutting is a fiasco, although Squawk Radio will tell you the exact opposite. Squawk Radio is wrong, by the way. That's just ass-kissing on the highest level, which is sort of embarrassing, but they don't get it. You're smarter than that. You do. Quick break. Lots of things to get to. Doge, the incoming new Secretary of HHS, RFK Jr., just getting warmed up on this Wednesday edition. Thanks for tuning in. 620 WTMJ. Thanks for tuning in on this Wednesday edition of Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ. Steve Scafidi with you for the next half hour or so. I get texts like this all the time. Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. My wife's working on a series of shirts that are going to have big black letters on them, and one of the first ones she's working on is just basically listen better. If you listen, actually listen. I've complimented Donald Trump on a couple of things. One, his sort of takeover of the immigration story and the border. I've credited him numerous times, and I'll do that again. That had to happen. It was a mess. He's fixed it to this point. It's not perfect, but it's at least a Band-Aid on a very bad problem caused by decades of inaction. I just said out loud on the show, I complimented him on his 2017 tax cut, and I want to see that renewed. Those are pro-Trump things. So listen better. The other companion shirt to that is going to be smarter. Sort of related, I think. One of the byproducts of selecting and approving a knucklehead, my words, like RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for HHS Secretary, an anti-vaxxer. Why do I say that? Well, because he worked for an organization that was notoriously anti-vax. He sort of stepped back from that, but he made a sort of a living lately about saying, well, I'm not going to be anti-vaccine, and we're just trying to make it, you know, we don't want to make it difficult to discourage people from taking shots for measles and polio, which we sort of eradicated, but, you know, hello, Texas. Now we have measles exploding in that state and probably other ones soon because parents have decided, I don't really want to have my kids vaccinated. We'll let nature take its course. And, of course, forgetting that the byproduct of letting nature take its course is more kids get sick, more kids die, more kids suffer needlessly. But set that aside for the moment. Here's what's happened. Again, facts are really, really important because they're at risk lately, because all we get is PR from campaigns now, and that's essentially what's delivered on most news stations, not this one, but most, including pseudo-journalists and fake news stations and fake news departments that's, you know, run rampant across broadcasting. And I'm going to get to that Monday with my special guest, Steve Wexler, who's joining me for the full hour. We're going to tackle all that stuff because Steve's been around radio for so long, and he's really, really smart about those things that sort of are overriding principles of what we do. And we'll probably disagree on some things, but I'm looking forward to that conversation next Monday. All right, RFK Jr. What he's done in his first week or so, his first speech, actually, to his staff, going to review the childhood vaccine schedule. Although he promised, again, promises are meaningless now because from presidents to broom pushers, promises are worthless. He's going to look at and investigate vaccines, pesticides, and antidepressants to see if they have contributed to chronic illness in the U.S. Now, I'm not against looking at these things, but make that an independent part of this process. I know, as a fact, that vaccines for polio worked brilliantly. I know, as a fact, because we almost eradicated it. Unfortunately, we didn't. And we seem to be working counter to the efficacy of what measles vaccines can do. So that was his first speech. Even though he promised not to do that, he's going to go review the schedules. Maybe we're vaccinating too much. Again, legitimate investigation, but should be separate, not all combined. is also, which is sort of damaging the general vaccine process and scheduling issue as well, cutting promotions, cutting communications on just informing people that you don't have to let your kid get the measles. And, oh, by the way, you can actually suffer. Children can suffer from these diseases that we sort of eradicated, but now we haven't. Again, because of bad decision-making, my opinion. So the communication piece has now been removed. He's also, RFK Jr., preparing to remove members of committees that advise the Food and Drug Administration. Kind of important. We want our food to be healthy. What do we know about that story in the last few years? Lots of dangerous things happening out there with our food supply. Yeah, let's not invest any time in that. Let's just make it worse. And we know because of the pandemic, there's now a war, outright war, and essentially a lynch mob for anything related to the CDC on vaccines or any of the things they do, the great work that they do, because some guy on the internet says everything's dangerous and the pandemic was made up, even though if you want to look at the death records in the United States, we had a big spike during those times. What do you blame that on? Just bad luck? My point is this. The president has rights. The president is allowed to put his people in. Congress has said, all right, we'll give you your people. What the president is not allowed to do is impact our public safety and our health in this country. And my ask of all of you is when you're looking at these stories with a critical eye, hopefully, again, listen better, be smarter, is you look at these things and say, this doesn't make any sense. I have a hard time, and I used to have a lot of these arguments during the pandemic years about vaccines. I understand there's people that hate vaccines. They hate the whole process. It's basically, it boils down to this. You're not going to tell me what to do. I don't care who you are, what you know, how smart you are. None of that matter what the science says. I don't care. And I haven't updated my list in a long time. There's like 50 or there's got to be 100 things now that we've been encouraged to distrust now. And all sort of really ramped up during the pandemic, although certainly the current president has contributed to that as well. And I don't want to use the term dumb. But when someone is running an agency tasked or charged with keeping us safer and healthier, and has not only spoken mistruths, has been caught many, many lies. I could spend the hour playing RFK Jr. on both sides of an issue because he's caught in a lie and then he tries to, spin, which is a political term now that frankly dumbed down our population along with reality TV. Have a critical eye to these things. And I would ask all of you out there in radio land, however you consume it, over the air and or online, or maybe you're in the studio with me, pay attention to this stuff. And when you see childhood diseases, those rates exploding, ask yourself, maybe vaccines work. All right, I just mentioned the term dumb. Is Doge dumb? D-U-M-B. That's next. Anybody who listens to the show knows I'm not a fan of Elon Musk. I'm raising my hand as somebody who thinks you can be a billionaire, in this case the richest person in the world, and still be an idiot on some things. He's brazen. He's way too cocky for his own good. Apparently not much of a family man, because he's got, like, I don't know how many dozen kids with, four different women. So apparently not a guy that stays home and kind of, takes care of the family. Although he's certainly got the money to do it. Imagine his legal expenses for all that nonsense. But set that aside. That's just my personal dislike. And then the last one on that is just the fact that he turned Twitter from sort of a fun, cool place to hang out to a cesspool, which is filled with now porn and internet trolls, most of those people who spend most of their time listening to Squawk Radio every day. Somebody asked me, aren't you Squawk Radio? No. Because if you listen to the show, again, listen better, be smarter. I have balance on the show. I have guests from both sides of the aisle. Now, I will tell you how I think about things. Last time I checked, that's what I'm paid for. And you don't have to like it. I don't care that you don't like it. Just like I don't care who you vote for. You decide what you want to do with your vote. I don't tell you what to vote. I don't prop up parties. I don't read party talking points because that's stupid. And boy, we have stations doing that full time now with their fake news departments, pseudo journalists, people that haven't had a real job in their entire lives other than squawking into a microphone. That's my take. All right, Doge. So all this hoopla about Doge, Elon Musk and his little young tech bros, who we know really nothing about other than most of them have creepy lives away from whatever they're doing for Doge, including anti-Semitism and racism and all these other things that we thought we stamped out, but now they're raging back. So they made a big deal, his Doge, about this wall of receipts. It was online. And they listed the five biggest savings on that list. Of course, journalists being journalists, like real journalists, not the fake kind that fills networks and radio stations across this country and podcasts, looked at it and said, these aren't real savings. So this wall of receipts, as it's called, has little by little deleted all the things that were their big five savings. Which points out something I was actually ahead of the curve on. Anybody who's actually had a real job in government understands, not a business job. Business is a different animal, completely. If you had a job in government, you know there's the way to do things and a way not to do things. And I'll go with the way not to do things. Just make cuts randomly without any analysis, any research, any talking to experts in sort of this slash and burn method. That's what apparently Elon Musk does. That's what's made Twitter, whatever he calls it now, worth about half as much as when he bought it. So as much of a genius as some people think Elon Musk is, how's that working out on Twitter? Doesn't mean he doesn't have a lot of money. I get that. But wealth doesn't mean intelligence or intellectualism. Those two things are not related. Trust me. So when I'm looking at Elon Musk, I'm looking at what he's doing, and I've spent way too much time reading into all of the things that I'm hearing headlines about. Oh, he's going to dig in. My friend Bill McCoshin loves this stuff. Say, oh, he's going to slash and burn, shock and awe, blah, blah, blah. And I love Bill, but Bill's a good enough businessman to know there's a way to do things. This is not that way. How should you do things? A in-depth analysis, department by department, line item by line item, something I advocated for 8 years ago when I came on the radio because I had a balanced budget. Local leaders know this. For every dollar you spend. We used to go through the budget in public meetings. What are we spending it on? Why are we doing that? Can we do it in a better way? Can we do it in a different way? Can we be more efficient? Congress never does that. Which is why the idea of doing this is amazing when done right. Elon Musk is demonstrating loudly and clearly he doesn't even understand the process. And I'm gonna end this segment with the warning that I've said months ago. If you allow Elon Musk and his little henchmen, all male apparently, which is sort of interesting, testament to Elon Musk, read into it what you want. It suggests that there's an opportunity for these individuals who are not vetted, nor is Elon Musk for that matter, to dig into areas they shouldn't be in, sensitive private data of American citizens, and two, if they ever, and I know the courts have pushed back on this smartly, have access to government finances, including large sums of U.S. wealth, don't be shocked if you see a headline one day, $100 billion missing from key government accounts. Because these tech bros, who we know nothing about, other than they're apparently anti-Semitic and racist, and are good coders, decided to move some money around, which can't be found, will never be traced, cannot be tracked, and can't be retrieved. So I warn those folks who cheer for Elon Musk indiscriminately and say, go, you go, Elon. or Leon, as some people like to call him. This is the danger with this. And if you don't see that problem, because let's be honest, this government deals in the trillions of dollars. $100 billion? We don't know where it went. Last thing on Elon Musk. There's a term called conflict of interest. When Elon Musk is deciding, along with the president, to benefit his companies, like Starlink and others, Tesla, with government contracts, that's a direct conflict of interest, which last time I checked is illegal. But we're just going to let that slide. One more segment after this on 620 WTMJ.
Fly me to the moon.
A lot of texts are saying, hey, I love the show today. I love it too, because occasionally it's just going to be me flexing. I've learned some things in 8 years doing this, and, oh, let's see, about 9 years in the public sector and in the private sector, 28 years. You learn things other than the knuckleheads, use it on purpose. Yes, I said it twice today. I'll say it again in a couple seconds. Who have only talked on a microphone to make their living. There's something about getting a real-life perspective that you don't get in the studio. But that's just me. All right. I'm going to talk about something that no one else is talking about. So you're seeing these town halls across the country. In Wisconsin, lots of people showed up for Glenn Grothman. He had a couple. I forgot who the other congressman was. Fitzgerald. And understandably, the public's concerned about some of the cuts impact on veterans, which I think is something I'm going to spend some real time on next week, because that is a travesty. Because I've said often over the years that I've done this show that the veterans should be paid first, not last. And we need to look at that reality, because it's not good for our veterans, especially when you're talking about health care. Shouldn't happen. All right. So the way that Squawk Radio, including right here in Milwaukee, are characterizing this as, well, of course they're angry. They're all Democrats showing up at these things, which might be true. Here's the thing. And this is what all sides miss. When you're an elected congressperson or a governor or senator or president, you represent everybody, including the people that didn't vote for you. That means actually, again, listen better, be smarter, listening to the people who show up. Because the way I can tell someone is not intellectually ready to have a higher office, is when they immediately discount someone's opinion because they belong to the other side. This is Squawk Radio by definition. That side's bad. That side's crazy. And it doesn't matter what side you're on, because we have both in the state. We have both representations, and one in a statewide network and one local stations across the state that are typically called conservative. You are dumbing down your audience by not giving them a balanced story. So when you squawk about, oh, Democrats are showing up for these town halls. Yeah, because they're voters. They're residents. They're citizens. They get a say. Anybody in higher office who's worth their salt, to use an old term, can handle that confrontation, can handle the ugliness of politics. And if you can't, maybe you should go get a different job. I hear Walmart is hiring.